Praise the Lord. You know that God is always there for you, don't you? Then act like it. Quit acting like you. Nobody there for you. Amen. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I just give you all honor and all glory tonight. You are an awesome, all-seeing, all-knowing Father, and you're on the move in a mighty way right now. And Father God, I want you to let these people know that you love them, that you are leading, guiding, and directing their footsteps, and that you're always there for them no matter what is coming. And Father, I just truly do thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I don't know about you, but I know that we serve an awesome God, amen? And I know that he is there for us, and he's not against us. And he's always leading, guiding, and directing us. It doesn't matter where we're going, as long as we're going with him. And, you know, and he'll be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. This afternoon I was studying, and all of a sudden I just started weeping uncontrollably. And, you know, that's when the Holy Spirit drops on you. And I just cried and cried, and finally God said, daughter, because you've trusted me through the hell I allowed you to go through, he says, you are now in the greater works. And so then about a half hour or so later, I looked on the email, and there Bob Jones's wife wrote an article, and she said in there, God is taking us into the greater works in this season. So we need to get excited because this dry riverbed is flooding. Amen. You know, the things we've had to go through and to endure is ending, and now we're going to be doing the great mighty works that God's called us forth to do. And I know it's been hard to stay the course. And I know the enemy's been on the rampage just doing everything he can to pull you off course and discourage you. But I thank each and every one of you that you held and stayed the course. And now God can use you because you've proven yourself faithful. Like you said to me, you trusted me through all the hell I allowed you to go through. And, you know, that was my Job experience. He said it was going to go through. The same as with each one of you. I watched you and listened to you and prayed for you and watched you go through your hell, your Gethsemanes, and how you came through it. And now we're on the other side, right? We're on the other side, and we're ready to advance into what God has us to do. Tonight, I read an article, and I'm just going to teach it tonight. It says, be encouraged, saints. We are now in an Isaiah 54 season. And the reason why I want to teach what she wrote was because God showed me 2 months ago. He said, now, daughter, I gave you Isaiah 54 as your chapter from the day one. And he says, now, read it carefully and understand that this is where you're at in this season. So let's listen to what this young lady had to say. On November the 8th, the Lord told me that the spiritual season had shifted, and we are now in an Isaiah 54 season of expansion. What does the Isaiah 54 season mean? Yeah, I believe it means 5 things, and I'm already seeing these 5 things manifest. If you look around you, chances are that you are too. The first is Isaiah 54, 1 through 3 says, sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge your place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Here are the 5 things the Lord told me he is doing in this Isaiah 54 season. Number one, the Lord told me that he sees that many of his people are desolate, and their desolation is reprehensible to him. Reprehensible means bringing or deserving severe rebuke or censure. All right. He emphasized this word reprehensible in my hearing. God made us to be a flock, and a flock is supposed to hang together. And if we're hanging together like we should, none of God's people would be desolate. So God is now going to fix the desolation of his people. Now, you have to really listen to everything here. The Lord is going to bless and increase people who have been desolate. Recently, he shouted Psalm 12:5 in my spirit to describe what he will do. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The example that the Lord showed me of fixing and healing someone's desolation was that of Leah and Rachel, Jacob's 2 wives. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, but he did not love Leah. we're going to read the story. Genesis 29:30-31 says, "Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." See what God did to this unloved woman? "When God saw Leah's plight, he opened her womb over and over again. He made her fruitful in her place of emotional barrenness. He gave Leah more children because she was hated in comparison to her sister." Now let's just stop there. You have to stop and start looking what God's doing with you. Even though you look like you're missing out on something, God is doing something greater because of the thing that you are missing out on. And see, we don't look at that. We just look at God isn't doing, God isn't doing, God isn't doing. We don't see the other thing that he is doing. All right, and so we miss out on God. Like God honored Leah, this season is a time when those who have been desolate and hated will be honored by God. See this? Let's just say you have a ministry and nobody wants to accept your ministry. And they just sort of push you to the background. Well, this is a season God's going to bring you to the forefront. All right? Father sees the injustice and is going to show himself as the honor and glory of his desolate children. The Lord told me it is also time to enlarge the place of your tent and to let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Notice that Isaiah 54:2 says to let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Let them, who is them? Other people. Amen? I never really looked at it like that. Christians in general already understand that we are called to serve and help a greater vision. However, we have too often lost the understanding that Father also desires to send people alongside each of us to help us. See that? I believe that you need to ask God right now and every day going forward to send the people who are supposed to come alongside of you to help you with your glow. You get that? I began praying that particular prayer a few months ago, and within about 3 days, God sent me two translators, one native Spanish speaker and one native French speaker, who volunteered to help me translate my blog for free. I offered to pay them, but they would not accept payment. They said they simply wanted to help. It was a direct answer to my prayer. With what do you need help? I'm asking you, what do you need help for? In this Isaiah 54 season, ask Father for the help you need. Ask him to send you the people whom he wants to come alongside you to help you with your mission. All right? Number three, I also heard him say very clearly in my spirit 3 times, it is a season of advancement. The Lord told me we are to operate from a divine yes, not an imagined no. We need to understand the advancement principle of Isaiah 9:6-7, which says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So, the Lord's own zeal advances his government and peace continually. God does this work himself. Too often we tend to think God is telling us no, not yet, none for you, and so on. That kind of limited, not for me thinking is from a poverty spirit. Are you listening to this now? I had to repent today and tell God that I didn't move in when he told me to. We need a praise and worship leader. If I seek God's face, I have, but not diligently. God sent me a praise and worship leader. That's not diligently. So if I diligently seek God's face for this, he will answer my prayer and send one in. I'm trying to, whatever your ministry is, what is it you need in your ministry? Ask God for it. What is it that you need help with? Ask God for it. And this is a season that he's going to give it to you. So I said, she said, that kind of limited, not for me thinking, it's from a poverty spirit. The truth of God's word is, as Heidi Baker says, there are no cookie-less children. Everybody gets a cookie. Amen. Father God has enough cookies, good things for all his children. Good things for all his children. And his government and kingdom are continually advancing. And that means he is continually taking new territory through you. He is continually using you to do more for him. He is continually enlarging his government in your heart. Continually, not just every now and then. So in this Isaiah 54 season, become a believing believer. Believe God for more. Believe that he really is advancing you. Steward everything he gives you diligently, even if it seems small at first. Don't despise a day of small beginnings. And that tells you that in Zechariah 4:10. Go after everything he tells you to do with all your heart. God is advancing his people. Let's stop there. See, do not despise a day of small beginnings. Everybody wants to start at the top. Nobody wants to start at the bottom and work their way up. They don't want to start small. They want to start big so they can fall quickly, I think. Amen. It's when you start small and you work your way up, you know, that you can really get to faith and that your building structure becomes firm, because you have to labor and fight to get to that top. Number four says, get to know God in this season as I am willing. Know him as I am willing. When we come to Father with our requests, prayers, and petitions, he is willing to answer. He desires to do for us whatever we need. In Matthew 8:3, Jesus actually disclosed this as his personal name. This passage says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Whenever you see God say, I am, in the Bible, pay attention. Here he said, I am willing. All right. And often he is telling us about an aspect of his nature that was often not previously known to us. Some of us don't even know God's nature at all. But he wants us to know him entirely and completely. In Matthew 8:3, Jesus declares his name as I am willing. So what do you need from him? Comfort. I am comfort. I am provision. I am relationships. I am help. See that? No matter what you need, he is willing. In this season, we are to get to know him by his name. I am willing. He tells me, I am well able. He's always telling me, I am well able to do this for you. Say, remember that we have not because we ask not. I know, I've been asking and asking and asking, but we are now in the Isaiah 54 season. Ask again. So what's the obvious solution to this problem? Start asking. Pray specifically and aggressively, and our Father will answer. Specifically and aggressively, and our Father will answer. How many of you have started to pray and you really don't know even how to put out there what you want to pray about? I did that just yesterday, and I said, well, let me go, Father, because I don't even know how to put this into words. Have you ever done that? You have a request, but you don't know exactly how to ask it so that you get exactly what you're asking for. All right, number five, finally, we are not to spare. Don't hold back. Don't spare in this season. Obey everything God has told you to do with absolute faith and with all your might. Every time lately that I have taken a step of faith to advance my work for the kingdom, God has come up under me and has provided for the fulfillment of that work. He has backed up the step of faith after it was taken every time. God told me when I first started, whatever you place your hand to do, I will do it. So if I don't place my hand to do anything, God has nothing to work with. So if I take that step of faith, then God has something to work with. When that young lady said, I never felt such power and authority in anybody's hand, what happened? When I stood there, was going to lay my hand on her shoulder, God laid his hand on her shoulder. And she felt his power and his strength. Are you seeing how this works? If I wouldn't have went there to lay my hand on her shoulder, he wouldn't have anything to work with. Understand this? We always have to give him something to work with. Whenever I just take time to say, God, the Holy Spirit, take me over. You use my tongue. You use my mouth. You use me as an oracle for God. Then God has something to work with. So when I open my mouth, he hurries up and says something before I say something dumb, right? Because I've given him permission to speak through me, all right? So, you know, you have to give him something to work with. However, in every situation, I had to take the step of faith first. So what is God challenging you to do? Don't hold back. Today, when he said, go beside that young lady, he couldn't do a thing till I walked over there and stood beside that young lady. If I wouldn't have gotten up and stood, went over there, nothing would have happened. Are you understanding? He had to have somebody to work through. And he asked me to do it. So when God's asking you to do something, do it so he then can do what he desires to do, no matter what it is. Do you know how many times I just step out in faith and say, well, this is what God wants you to do. If I'm not hearing, then when I say, this is what God wants you to do, immediately I hear the words and then he starts telling me, but I have to say, this is what God wants you to do first. Then he has something to work with. But if I just stand there and say, duh, well, I guess we're finished. You know, God has nothing to work with. Or, this is how it works. And sometimes I'll start talking and I say, well, this is what God has to say. Because once I open my mouth and start talking, then God has something to take over. He's saying, shut her up quickly. Yeah. So he has something to take over and he has something to speak through. And if you just sit around and do absolutely nothing, then God can't use you because you're not doing anything for him to work through. A lot of times when I walk over and lay hands on somebody, I do that. I know they need a touch from God. I do that so he has something to work through. Are you understanding that? All right. Finally, we are to not spare. Don't hold back. Don't spare in this season. Obey everything God has told you to do with absolute faith and with all your might. Every time lately that I've taken a step of faith to advance my work for the kingdom, God has come up under me and has provided for the fulfillment of that work. He has backed up the step of faith after it was taken every time. However, in every situation, I had to take the step of faith first. So what is God challenging you to do? Don't hold back. All right. So, you know, God told me I had to get the joy back in the church. Now, I had to take the first step to start initiating joy back into the church. I had to get up here and use the songs, you know, that God gave me to bring joy back into the church. Now, if I wouldn't have done that, God could not have brought the joy back into the church. Are you understanding this? See, each one of us have a role to play in the body of Christ. And the problem is we're really not listening to what God's telling us to do. And so he might just tell you, all right, today and during praise and worship, I just want you to sit there and just pray. And I don't want you to sing. I need you to intercede for the congregation. And then as you just sit there and pray, then God can do the works he needs to do in the people that are sitting in here. Or do you understand that? He might say to you, I want you to get up and run around to church. And you're not used to that. But as you get up and run around to church, do you know that you're breaking chains off of people's feet? It doesn't mean everybody else is going to run. It means that you obeyed God and you ran around to church. One time, little Gabriel, Isaac, Aikman, he started running around to church. God said, I'm using him right now to break down walls. And you all thought he was just running. And he was really, God was really using him to break down walls. But see, we're grown up, and after all, we shouldn't have minds of little children, even though everybody does. You know, I'm too old to go act like that. No, you're not. Do whatever God is telling you to do. Remember, I told you that one time that I was praying for this girl, and God told me to shake her really hard, and I wouldn't shake her. I said, I'm not going to do that. I was just starting then. I was a little bit on the dumb side, naive side. And then she told me at the end of the service, it was my praise and worship leader, really, she said, why didn't you shake me like God told you to? She said, I'm bound, but if you would have shaken me right then when he told you to, I'd have been set free. Now I'm still bound. And I don't know when God's going to come around to free me up again. And then in the next couple of days, I read Robert Laridon, where he was ministering to three older women. You know, in those days, they had their hair up in buns and all them pins in there. And they were real well-to-do women. They were standing before him. Remember that story? And God said, shake them really good. So he shook them ladies so hard, all their pins flew and everything else. And them ladies were absolutely, totally set free and was happy they couldn't stand herself. He said, God never asked me to do that before, and he hadn't asked me to do it since, but I did what he told me, and I thought, boy, why didn't I do what God asked me to do? You see this? He set them ladies free because he shook them. One time, now I want you guys to really hear God's voice before you try any of this stuff. All right, in this Isaiah 54 season, we are to get our instructions from the Holy Spirit. Then move on them boldly. When you know the Holy Spirit spoke with you, then move on them boldly, knowing that the Lord is with you. I heard the words of the angel of the Lord to Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Whenever you step out there in faith, she heard the words that God spoke to Gideon. I am with you, mighty warrior. Understand, it is a new season that we're in, guys. We're not functioning back 20 years ago. We're in a brand new season. God is moving in a new way to advance and honor his children. Will you cooperate with him so you can see more of his advancement in your own life? If you will, I don't know, she says, I believe, but I know you'll be amazed beyond your wildest dreams what God will do with you and through you. All right. We're in Isaiah 54, and God wants to bring it to pass. Now, it's up to you whether or not he does. Do you understand Isaiah 54? God is doing a brand new thing. He's advancing your ministries. And he's ready to use you to your fullest as long as you take that first step of faith. If Brett doesn't sit down and write a page in his book, it's not going to write itself. But as he, by faith, sits down, whether he knows what he wants to write or not, by faith sits down there, the Holy Spirit's going to start dictating that book to him. This is how it works. I tell you how I get the daily word is I sit down, so here I am, God, for the daily word. And when I don't do that, I don't get it. So by faith, I'm sitting there expecting God to speak to me what he wants the people to know, and then he tells them. But if I don't do it, it doesn't matter what he wants the people to hear, they don't get it. And I've repented of that too. Sorry. Try not to be busy. Too busy. All right. I read this article and I thought it was so interesting. He gave up his first love singing R&B. What is R&B? Rhythm and blues. Okay. When he rededicated his life to Christ. But after he devoted his music to God, he became the random victim of a gang initiation that left him hovering near death, losing nearly half his blood. After his out-of-body experience, God brought him back to share a message of hope in Jesus Christ. After his out-of-the-body experience, God brought him back to share a message of hope in Jesus Christ. Tony Davis, one of six children who raised in Canton, Mississippi, by a mom who insisted they attend church every Sunday. As a teenager, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. After college, he began to pursue his dream of becoming an R&B singer one day. Excuse me. He moved to Hollywood and his group, A Touch Plus, landed a record contract with Warner Brothers. The music scene drew him in with some powerful distractions. I began to party hardy, Tony recalls. I did the Soul Train dancing stuff, but I knew something was missing. Every time I left a party, I felt empty. One day, feeling somewhat dejected, he was driving his red 300ZX on Mulholland Drive, came around a curve too fast and almost went off a cliff. He pulled over in the dirt next to the edge and lifted up a prayer. Thank you, God, I didn't go over that cliff. I know I have to change. See, when you raise your children up in the ways they would go, they'll never depart from. This boy, he knew he had to come back to God quickly. Rededication. To escape the fast lane, Davis moved to Atlanta and began to attend Hopewell Baptist Church. A fire and brimstone message pierced his heart, and he rededicated his life to Christ. A few days later, he asked God to remove his desire to sing R&B music. He heard a voice speak to his heart. Take one step forward. Standing alone in his apartment, he took one step forward, and something surprising happened. All his feelings to sing R&B went away. He shook his head thinking, what just happened? He took that step forward. He married his wife in 1995 and began to pursue his new passion, singing gospel music. One evening, he was on his way to pick up his wife from work at a board and care facility in South Central LA when he got a phone call from her. It seems her friend's car had broken down two streets away from the facility where she worked. Tony found the friend and her children and put them in his Jeep, but when he turned the corner and pulled up to the facility, gunfire rang out. Bullets hit the front of the Jeep and one hit my door, Tony recounts. Why is this happening? Tony wondered. I don't have any enemies. I never even held a gun. I'm only about singing. He punched his foot on the accelerator and sped away from the curb. I went around a corner as fast as I could. My right tire was flat. I pulled over to the side. Then he wondered if his wife had come out of the facility and got caught in any subsequent gunfire. He ran back on foot and was thankful to find she was all right. When police arrived, they informed them that three people had been killed recently only a few blocks away during a gang initiation. They said Tony had probably been chosen as a random victim, another part of the initiation. To begin with, I think that's awful. The police called a tow truck for his Jeep and left to pursue someone they suspected in the attack. They told Tony they would return soon. The second attack. 15 minutes later, a truck pulled up, but then everything went into slow motion, Tony says. Several gang members emerged from the shadows of nearby trees and began to fire at Davis. The truck driver threw his vehicle in reverse and quickly sped away, leaving Tony alone and exposed. I ran toward my Jeep, Tony recounts. The first bullet hit my leg. I limped until I dropped down beside my Jeep. He felt extreme pain in his pants, leg getting wet with blood. He knew he had been shot. In the next few moments, the shooter sprayed 32 bullets toward him. Five of those bullets went in and out. There were 5 shots and 10 holes. Each one went in and out of him. Then the Lord spoke to his heart, "Stand up and face your enemy." With blood draining from his body, Tony managed to lift himself off the ground and saw one young man peering out from behind a tree. "Why," Tony called out, "what have I done to you?" "In the name of Jesus, put down the gun," he declared. When the gang member heard the name of Jesus, his hand began to tremble. "My God, what have I done?" The young gang member said. Then he turned and ran. Tony walked another 10 feet toward a street light and collapsed on the ground. Lying in a pool of his own blood, he lifted up his hands to God. "Why have you deserted me? I can't believe you let this happen after I dedicated my life to you." Tony thought he heard legions of demons laughing at him. Then he remembered a scripture from his mom's favorite book of the Bible, which is Job. "Though he slay me, yet will I still trust in him," Job 13:15. Tony realized God didn't do this, but the devil did. "I trust God's will for my life," he decided. Suddenly, a woman in white appeared out of nowhere. I saw her walking toward me. Her hair was black and gray. I couldn't speak. I was too weak. She rubbed Tony's head and said, "My God, what have they done? It's going to be all right." Floating away from his body, Tony felt his heart stop beating, and suddenly he had an out-of-body experience. I floated up and saw my body lying there. I floated in beautiful white clouds. I began to feel good. Then a window opened in the clouds. Way off in the clouds, I saw a huge, beautiful city far away from me. He saw beautiful colors he had never seen on earth. Above the city were thousands upon thousands of wings of light coming from angels praising God over the celestial city. It was so beautiful with the light glowing around them, Tony recalls. The wings would go in and out of the light. The Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit and said, "Those are archangels who never stop praising God." He could hear the sound of rushing waters in the city and could see a yellow glow coming from the bottom. "I couldn't tell if it was streets," he says. "I felt love coming from the center of the city. When it touched me, it felt like nothing but love." So he said he could hear the sound of rushing waters in the city and could see a yellow glow coming from the bottom. "I couldn't tell if it was streets," he says. "I felt love coming from the center of the city. When it touched me, it felt like nothing but love." Then a voice spoke to his spirit and said, it said, "It is not yet your time. It's time to go back." "No, no, 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 I don't want to go back," he replied. Tony wanted to stay in this beautiful place. "I felt so much peace," he recalls. "I felt nothing but joy. I felt so free and so good. My pity and shame went away. All of my earthly cares went away. I didn't worry about anything. I was part of pure love." See what it's going to be like up there, pure love. Then cloud-like arms began to envelop me. Excuse me. He felt a gentle wind coming from God's presence blowing across his face. A voice spoke to his heart. "I need you to go back. Your work is not yet done." A wind from God began to blow Tony backward through the clouds. He went back into his body, now on a table at Los Angeles County USC Medical Center. Physicians had worked on Tony during 7 hours of surgery at the trauma center. They informed Tony's wife he died on the table. But then Tony shocked everyone when he took a deep breath and opened his eyes as a doctor was laying a sheet over him. He had been dead for 30 minutes. When the doctor saw Tony open his eyes, he screamed and ran out of the room. I would have too. Amen. Tony's medical records confirmed Tony suffered 5 gunshot wounds, was admitted to Los Angeles County USC Medical Center, and underwent surgery. The records do not mention his supernatural out-of-body experience with God or that he was declared dead and returned to life. Threat of amputation. The day after Tony awakened, doctors informed him they would have to amputate his leg. Also, during his emergency tracheotomy, they had accidentally cut a vocal cord in his throat. He might never speak or sing again. As they prepared Tony for the amputation, he began to question God once more. Why has this happened? I'm not a bad person. Then he felt God speak to his heart once more. There is something I want you to do. What's that, Lord? Tony replied. Forgive. Forgive. Are you kidding me? Look at what they did to me, he said. What kind of God are you? You sat up there and allowed this to happen to me. And God said, if you forgive, I'll make you whole. Tony wrestled with God for a moment before he reached a decision. He said, I let go of it. He recounts, I pushed away the hurt and anger and shame, the why me attitude. All of a sudden, Tony felt the room get warm. A warm sensation touched him, moving from his leg up to his vocal cords. God's healing touch was making everything right in his body. Then Tony fell asleep. When he opened his eyes, he saw doctors standing around him talking about how they were going to take off his leg. Then Tony moved his dead leg in an unexpected way. Oh my goodness, one of them exclaimed. They rushed Tony in for an x-ray and came back with startled expressions. There is life in your leg. We don't know what's going on, one said, shaking his head. Tony closed his eyes and quietly murmured, thank you, God. The next day, one of the physicians came in and said, strange things are happening in your room. We're going to remove this tube from your throat and see if you can breathe or speak. When the tube was removed, Tony took a deep breath. Say one word, the doctor suggested. Jesus, Tony managed in a hoarse, somewhat weak voice, just above a whisper. Doctor sewed up the hole in his throat, and he's been talking ever since. I can sing, I can jump on my leg, he says. Tony believes God has given him a mission to share about the power of forgiveness and triumph over tragedy. Heaven is a place Jesus prepared for us, he says. You won't get there if you're not saved by Jesus. You can't enter in without him, and he is the one who came to save us. Everything turns back to love and to forgiveness. If he wouldn't have forgave, he would have lost everything. But he decided to forgive that young man. The whole gist of this whole story to me is this man was with God, left God, rededicated, and then went into a lot of persecution. Shot at, died, went to heaven, sent back. And then God performed a miracle. So what are you complaining about? Well, God, you know, I gave you my heart. You know, I go to church. You know, I read my word. How come I'm being persecuted? Why don't you forgive those who are persecuting you? Why don't you quit telling God how good you are, how righteous you are? And why don't you just walk in love and forgiveness and just let God go ahead and move and do the things he has to do? I think this is a very good example of somebody who learned a lesson the hard way about forgiveness. How many times has God asked you to forgive and you still haven't forgiven? How many times has God asked you to love the unlovable and you still won't love the unlovable? Well, then don't look at God and say, how come you're not supplying my need? Right? Don't look at God and ask him why he hasn't sent you your $10,000 check. Or whatever it is you're expecting from God. If you can't love and forgive, then forget about everything else. If you take that first step of faith, and that first step is to forgive, then God will do the rest. But until you do that, don't expect God to move at all, because he has nothing to work with. I heard a preacher preach today that we all go through trauma. That's just life. And I'm saying to you, we all go through trauma. We all go through tragedies in our life. There's always going to be somebody to push your button. But if you're really walking with the love of God, your button won't work. I've had to repent over and over and over again because for the last, 5, 6 years, I've been really upset about different things that's happened to me and just really upset with the people. And God made me realize until I quit being upset with what they did and were still doing, don't ask me blessed. Are you listening? Well, it's not right. It wasn't right what they did with Jesus either. I didn't ask for this. That's what Jesus didn't either. Are you understanding all this? We need to get out from underneath this thing that Satan has us under, expecting everybody to bow down to us. We need to get out from underneath this expectation that we walk in a rose garden just because we said, "Here I am, Lord, you know, I'm yours." We need to understand that we are here on assignment. And our assignment is to do the will. Take up the cross. Whatever cross it is that God wants us to take up. Take up that cross and carry it until God said it's finished. You never know what the thing you do will make somebody turn around. You might have been doing the same thing for years and years and years, trying to get them to turn around, and then all of a sudden, and you keep doing it, you know, the love thing, and then all of a sudden one day they turn around. But what if you just stopped the day before? Are you understanding this? And you know, another thing is, God says to us, never forget from whence you came. You weren't always holier than now. Your plate wasn't always clean, and your past is not squeaky clean. We aren't supposed to think of those things, and I don't want you to, but, you know, sometimes I watch people be judgmental, and I think they need to stop and take a look backwards. If I find myself starting to be judgmental, I stop and look backwards. I really do. I might not have done what they're doing bad, but, you know, we all do little things, and God forgives us. And God said there's no little or big sin. Every sin is a sin. So who are we to be judging people? I just ran across somebody today. They're so judgmental that I had to leave the room. I couldn't stay in the room with them. And I made my statement as I would hate to be standing before God on judgment day because they are going to be judged. Because as you judge, you will be judged. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is where it's all at. Are you listening here? You know, as a pastor, I watch you people come in here all messed up. Then I watch you slowly grow. And it's like, you know, like you're watching a little baby grow. And it's really powerful, wonderful. And I know my Father in heaven sits up there and watches all of us grow like that. And I know he rejoices with us when as we grow. And I know he wants us to pop us on the nose when we do something dumb. You know, don't you want to do that to your kids when they do something dumb? And so why don't we, you know, what we read, the first thing was that we had to be in unity. Isn't that, didn't we read that? That's what that was all about, being in unity. Until we learn to forgive and forget and just let the little things other people do bother us, we're never going to be in unity. I'm really wanting you to think tonight. Are you a person that makes unity, or are you a person that causes disunity? Are you a person that can accept somebody else's little quirks? Or your person is going to fuss about everything that they do? It's up to you how much God blesses you. I bought little Isaiah some new socks. They go up to his knees. You know, I figured to keep his legs warm. Gabriel likes his. So he says, I want these off. I said, no, you need them on. They need to keep your leg warm. He said, they're my legs, and I don't want my legs to be this warm. He said, you wear them. You know. You know, so I'm not going to cause a big stink over buying them these tall socks. If you don't like them, you don't like them. Some parents say, put them on and keep them on. You know, I thought I was doing him a favor, but he says, I can wear them. I like them so well. You know, life is as simple as you make it or as hard as you make it. Your blessings will come freely or they won't come for a season. They'll be bound up. It's all up to you. You need to change the way you think. If we're in an Isaiah 54 season, then that means change. And if you don't change, then you're not in that season. If you don't forgive and forget and move on, then you're going to be stuck way back there. And you're going to watch the rest of us being blessed, and you're going to say, well, how come you didn't bless me, Lord? Well, you decided you didn't want to go into Isaiah 54 season. You didn't want to move forward. You wanted to stay right where you were at. I did not. Yes, you did. Quit lying to yourself. You did it by your attitude. God's really ready to move and move mightily. How many of you want to move with him? That's the question. How many of you really want to move with him? Then you have got to change. You have to become open to God. So open for the world to see everything about, know everything about you. You have to be like an open book. Nothing hid, no closets, nothing hid. Open book, God's child. Was Jesus open? Yes, he was. Then we're supposed to be just like Jesus right then. Open book and a case. God's saying he wants you people to be a know-all and see-all generation. You'll know all that God's doing, and you'll see all that he's doing before others do. And if you'll become that generation, then he said he'll escalate you and send you forth to reveal to the people what God is doing and what he wants them to do. So are you going to take up a calling tonight from God? Are you going to be a know-all, see-all servant of God? Or are you going to stay one that's closed and shut up and just sit there in a chair and fuss because you're not being blessed? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for my financial blessing, aren't you? I'm ready for all the blessings God has promised me, aren't you? And, you know, God said our jubilee is the day we can receive it. Well, you know, the day of jubilee, everything was given to you. So can you believe for your jubilee tonight? Can you believe that God is opening up the windows of heaven right now and pouring out your blessings, all your answers to your prayers? Jesse Duplantis said he just paid off somebody's mortgage, $170,000, and didn't even blink an eye at doing that. So why don't we have money like that? Yeah, Mom. Wouldn't you like somebody to, I said, he could go buy somebody a home for $170,000. Need a new home, Brother Chris? Where's your attitude? Come on. God can speak to anybody's heart. The church was in a financial bind. I never said a word. You know what? The offering this morning took us out of the bind. And God's good. God's good to me. I don't even worry about it. I never have. I just know God's going to show up and the money's going to be there to pay the bills. So what do you fret and worry about all the time? Think about that. If you're fretting and worrying, and then you are not totally sold out to God, you're not totally trusting him. Remember what God told me today. He said, daughter, because you trusted me through all the hell I allowed you to go through, now you're doing the greater works. Remember that? It was because I trusted him through the mess. Come on. This is our time, saints. Can you really believe for God to work, move on your behalf now? Right now. Right now. God is saying that if you'll stand up, walk up here, you'll release yourself from the bondages. Whether it's a financial bondage, whether it's infirmity, whatever it is, if you'll stand up and walk up here, you're going to release yourself. And you're not going to worry about what tomorrow holds anymore either.